This kingdom of God currently is a spiritual kingdom. Now, one day it's going to be a physical kingdom. It's going to be a literal kingdom. But right now, it's a spiritual kingdom. Whereas the kingdoms of this world, they are a physical kingdom. The kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Christ are within the believer. That you as a child of God, the kingdom of God is in you. You know, you can't, there's no visible place where God is sitting on the throne on this earth.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience?
And as we consider Daniel chapter 4, our thought this morning is, have you had your grass eating experience? Have you had your grass eating experience? We've been looking at how to live in a shifting culture, that our culture is shifting day by day. There are things that have moved from the foundation and that have moved into areas where we never thought that we would find ourselves. And so when we read the book of Daniel, we see what it's like to be in a shifting culture. Before we get into the message this week, I've been teaching out at a church in Murraysville, and I've been doing the same thing out there. So what I'm sharing this morning, I've been sharing out there. And one of the things I gave the individuals the opportunity to do was to sign up for the weekly email. And, you know, we had a great response out there. So I thought that, you know, there's probably a lot of people here at Bethany that don't get the weekly email. So we want to encourage you, you know, to be a part of a growing number of people that's signing up for the weekly email that we send out. In the email, we have a thought-provoking title. For instance, last week, the title of the devotion was 35,000. A thought-provoking title. All right. We have a scripture to introduce the devotion. Then we explain the scripture. Then we give an illustration illustrating the devotion. So you might say, well, what's the significance of 35,000? Do you realize that every day you make 35,000 choices? Think about that. You make 35,000 choices. Just some of them. You chose what clothes you were going to wear. You chose what you were going to eat. You chose which seat you were going to sit in when you get here. Just think about all the other choices that you make through the rest of this day. And my point in the devotion is that if we make 35,000 choices a day, how many choices do we make in a week? How many choices do we make in a month? How many choices do we make in a year? And when you think about all those choices that we make, and this can be the scary thing or this could be the blessed thing, right? Either you're in a good place as a result of the choices that you made, or you're in a bad place as a result of the choices. So think about where you're at. You are where you're at as a result of those choices that you make every day. And so in the rest of the devotion, we go on to talk about how to make good choices of our 35,000. So if you would like to receive that weekly email, you can see one of the ushers and leave your email address, and they'll make sure that we get it. Two kingdoms that are in this world. There's the kingdom of Christ, and then there is the kingdom of this world. And we see it throughout the book of Daniel. There's all these worldly kingdoms, the kingdoms of this world, and then there's the kingdoms of God and Christ. What is the difference between the two? Well, the kingdom of Christ is ruled by Christ. And we see that in Daniel chapter 2, 3, and 4. The kingdom of this world is ruled by evil forces. That when you think about all the evil that's in the world today, and people are making choices as a result of this being in this kingdom, and they make evil choices. This kingdom of God currently is a spiritual kingdom. Now, one day it's going to be a physical kingdom. It's going to be a literal kingdom. But right now, it's a spiritual kingdom. Whereas the kingdoms of this world, they are a physical kingdom. The kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of Christ are within the believer. That you as a child of God, the kingdom of God is in you. You know, you can't, there's no visible place where God is sitting on the throne on this earth. Now, we know that God is on the throne, so that, you know, he sits high on his throne. But as far as any physical throne, God is not on any physical throne on this earth. But we see kings all over the world sitting on physical thrones. And these kings, they rule over nations. But God, his kingdom currently is in the heart. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that God rules, or he should rule in your heart. The kingdom of God rules according to the truth. The kingdom of this world rules according to lies. And we see that it rules according to the truth in relationship to how we were created, what marriage, what gender, family, life, sexual expression, money, that there are two kingdoms, right? And the kingdom of God represents one set of values, and the kingdoms of this world represent another set of values. So I remember listening to Ron Canole, and he had a song that said, I'm going up to the high places, and I'm going to tear the devil's kingdom down. And I remember he was giving some dialogue in that song, and he said, you're either on the Lord's side or you're on Satan's side. And I like what he said. There is no demilitarized zone, right? There's no in between. So as you sit here today, as you sit here right now, you're either in one of two kingdoms. You're either in God's kingdom or you're in the devil's kingdom. And, you know, there's no other choices. There's no middle kingdom. There's only two. And you have to ask yourself the question, you know, which one do you find yourself residing in today? In Daniel chapter 4, we see a part of the worldly kingdom. In Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king, who was a worldly king, who is filled with pride and arrogance and egotism, that he has a dream of a great tree. And this tree that he dreamed about covered the face of the earth. And as this tree covered the face of the earth, it provided shade for everyone. It provided a place for the birds to rest. It provided food for everyone in the world. And we see that the tree was cut down. And this was a prophecy about Nebuchadnezzar, who was the world ruler at that time, and how that he ruled everything. But in his pride, he was cut down and he was removed from the throne because of his pride. So we see that the world's kingdom is filled with pride. And so we have to check ourselves sometimes, because we can find ourselves moving over into the devil's kingdom, even though we might be people of God, that we still maybe think like we're in the devil's kingdom. I like the story that I heard about these two birds and a frog. And this lets us know that pride will take you down. Pride will take you down. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says that pride goes before destruction. These birds and two birds and a frog, they were at a pond. And the pond began to dry up. And so they had to figure out how to get to another pond where there was some water. Now, the two birds had no problem, because all they had to do was just fly. But the frog, had an issue. And so they were all good friends. And the frog said, well, why don't you guys put a stick in your bill and hold on to it, and then I'll hold on to the stick with my mouth. And seemed like a good idea. And as you can see, they took off and they started to fly. And this thing was working as they were going to the next pond. All of a sudden, there was a farmer. And he looked and he saw the birds with the stick in their mouth. He saw the frog with the stick in his mouth. And the farmer said, man, that is a great idea. Who thought of that? And the frog said, it was I. You see, pride will take you down quicker than anything else, quicker than immorality, even though that will take you down, quicker than an ungodly lifestyle, which will take you down. Pride will take you down real quick. And the reason that pride would take you down is because pride, and I'm getting ready to say this, and I'm going to talk a little bit later in the message about the difference between spiritual pride and sinful pride. So right now we're focusing on sinful pride, that pride is straight from the pit of hell. It's straight from the pit of hell. And you know, we need to ask ourselves, you know, what is it that we do well? You know, when you think about your life, what is it that you do well? You know, maybe it's, you know, you organize well. Maybe God has gifted you to be able to have a good voice and sing. Maybe, you know, God is giving you some gifts and skills in certain areas. Maybe you are a good mechanic or a good carpenter. What is it that you do well? See, you have to be careful, because it's very easy to slip from that gift and using it to be a blessing and slip over to where pride now corrupts that gift. And so pride is straight from the pit of hell. And let me show you what I mean. There was an individual named Lucifer, right? Lucifer. And Lucifer was an angel. And he was one of the most beautiful creatures that God created. The Bible says that in Lucifer was perfection. It says that in Lucifer was beauty. It says that in Lucifer there was a beauty unlike any other of God's creation. And even in Lucifer there was music. Many people think that he led the heavenly choir. But Lucifer started to get the big head. And he wanted to be like God. And so look what he said. He said in Isaiah chapter 14, he said that he wanted God's residence. He said, I will ascend to heaven. See, he looked at who he was, and right, he started drinking the Kool-Aid. He looked at who he was, and he started drinking the perfume. You know what? Perfume is all right as long as you smell it. But when you start to drink the perfume, it's pretty nasty. And so he was all right as he was manifesting the perfume. But then what did he do? He started drinking the perfume. And he said, I want God's residence. He said, I will ascend to heaven. And then he wanted God's rule. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Satan wanted to rule over the stars. And in the Old Testament, stars often represented the angels. And so what was Satan wanted? What did he want to do? He wanted to rule over all of heaven. He wanted to rule over the angelic host. And sad to say that he actually duped a third of the angels to go along with his program. They bought into what he was selling. And when he got kicked out of heaven, guess what? A third of them went with him also. He wanted God's recognition. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the size of the north. The size of the north was a poetical expression that represented power and preeminence. Ancient people believed that the north was the highest place on the face of this earth. So he wanted the highest place. He wanted recognition that God had. We see he wanted God's radiance. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. in verse 14. The clouds represent glory. And what did he want? Lucifer wanted the glory of God. He wanted God's rank. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. The expression there, Most High God, is El Elyon. And it meant that God was the professor of heaven and earth. And he wanted to be like God. And because of pride. Now think about this. And this is amazing. When you think about Adam and Eve, they were tempted from without, right? They had a tempter, someone to tempt them and draw them away. But Lucifer had no tempter. It all originated within him. This whole concept of him wanting to take over God, to have a coup d'etat and take over heaven, it came from within. And because of pride, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven. And when he was kicked out of heaven, he became Satan, or the devil. And now he is roaming this earth, trying to get as many people to follow him as he can. And that's what I'm saying. You're either in God's kingdom or you're in the devil's kingdom. And the devil is out here, and he's trying to draw as many people as he can into his kingdom. And sad to say, we see evidence of it every day. That when he got kicked out, Jesus was there. And Jesus saw Satan get kicked out of heaven. And he said that when he got kicked out of heaven, that he fell so fast, it was faster than lightning. Or my dad used to say, so fast it'll make your head swim. That's how fast he got kicked out of heaven. God wasn't putting up with his foolishness. God wasn't putting up with his mess. And when he wanted to exalt himself above God, God said, that's it. It's time for you to go. And so we really need to see that this thing called pride is serious, and it can be very devastating. If you go to that next slide. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it said that there are three things in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and somebody help me, the pride of life. The pride of life. That's one of the big things that's in the world's system. And so when we think about the pride of life, what does that involve? Arrogance, haughtiness, egotism, self-exaltation, boasting, all those things. Praise God for the young people that were here today, right? And that are using their talents to minister for the Lord. And so we have to pray not only for us as adults, but even for young people. Because sometimes young people can get a big head. And they can become egotistic, and they can begin to brag about the things that they have. Just think, if you've got something that somebody else doesn't have, right? It's very easy for you to feel superior. It's very easy for you to lift yourself up because, hey, I got the latest, I got the greatest, look what I got. And you know what? Pride will slip in there. And now you stick your chest out. And now you ridicule and you condemn somebody else because they don't have what you have. And we see very easily pride can slip in there. There was a lady who was went to her pastor because she thought it was a sin that she felt she looked more prettier than any other woman in the church. And so she went to her pastor and she said, Pastor, I feel like I'm in sin because I feel I'm prettier than any other lady in the church. And the pastor responded, that's not sin, it's just a mistake. Pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. Pride is the only disease that makes everybody sick except the one that has it. I know growing up, I played football, baseball, and there was guys that they were gifted. I mean, they could jump higher, and they could run faster than anybody else. And, I think back to some of them and how that they became arrogant, and they became boastful, and they would tell people, this is who I am, and this is what I could do. And they let that gift around them, just cause everybody else to look at him and shake their head and say, this brother right here, he has no issues with his ego, right? I mean, you know, this person right here, they have no problem letting people know who they are and what they can do. And, you know, there was just something about being around people like that that made you not want to be around them, right? Because you got tired of hearing that stuff, right? I mean, really, if you play sports or, you know, maybe it's you've been involved in some other group activities where somebody was good at something, and then they started bragging about it, man, you almost got to the point where you didn't even want to be around them anymore. You know, I don't want to hear this. You know, Proverbs says, you know, don't boast on yourself. Let another person praise you. Let somebody else praise you. Don't praise yourself. But yet and still, you know, that seems to be a problem that many people have. So pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but you. So I want to share with you three slides, and I want to ask you a question with each slide. The first slide was kind of our title slide, and that was, have you had your grass-eating experience? In Daniel 4:33, when Nebuchadnezzar bragged about all that he had and all that he had done, the Bible says that he was driven from men. And he did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and bird's nails. He had the claws like a bird. So God got tired of hearing him lift himself up. And God got tired of hearing him brag. And God sent him to the field for 7 years. 7 years he was like an animal, and he ate grass with the animals of the field. Have you had your grass eating experience? I know I've had several in my lifetime. You know, there was times when, you know, God was trying to tell me something and I was hard-headed and I didn't want to listen. Other people were coming, trying to give me some good advice, and I didn't want to listen. And I ended up not literally in the field eating grass with the animals, but, you know, it sure felt like that. And so have you had your grass eating experience? Be humble. Be humble before you stumble. Right? Be humble before you stumble. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Daniel was trying to let him know, look, man, you need to humble yourself. You need to walk away from this pride. But Nebuchadnezzar did not humble himself, and we see that he ended up stumbling. And you know the other thing I like about this, humility means what? That you're spending time on your knees. And somebody said that you can never stumble while you're on your knees. You can never stumble while you're on your knees. And the reason that many people are stumbling, because they got their head up, they got their chest out, and they're walking around like they're God's gift to the world. Be humble before you stumble. And then the quickest way down is to lift yourself up. The quickest way down. If you ever want to find yourself at the bottom, the quickest way is to lift yourself up. And share some things in a second. You know, I think of the lion, right? The lion who roars, and the lion who goes through with his head back and his chest out, and he says, who's the king of the jungle, right? Who's the king of the jungle? And he roars, and he looks at all the other animals, and he says, who's the king of the jungle, right? And this elephant comes along, and the elephant wraps his trunk around the lion, lifts him up, and slams him on the ground 3 times, and then he takes the lion and he throws him against a tree, and the lion bounces off the tree, and he wakes up and he shakes it off and he said, look, you don't have to get mad just because you didn't know the answer.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.